95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm Kathy Romano, your host. Today's guest is the new voice for the Reading Fightin' Phils, the AA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. 24-year-old Emily Messina is entering her second year with the organization, but the first in the broadcast booth. At a young age, she's already worked in a few different baseball cities, and she's joining me today to share her story with us. Emily, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciative to be here right now.
Did you grow up in the area?
I actually grew up in Bucks County, so not too far away.
Oh, where in Bucks County? I'm also from Bucks County.
Oh, really? The New Hope area, like right outside of Doylestown.
Okay, so where'd you go to high school?
I went to private school, Villa Joseph Murray.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right. And then where did you go to college?
I went to Catholic University, which is a small school in Washington, D.C.
And did you study journalism or broadcasting?
Yep, I studied communications and media relations.
Did you grow up a baseball fan?
I did, yeah. My parents were super into the sport, so they raised me on it.
And did you listen to games on the radio as a kid?
Yes, that's actually how I got into my career. So my parents would listen to the Yankees radio as we would drive down to the Jersey Shore, and they had a female color commentator, Susan Waldman. It's kind of when I thought this could be more than something I just really like. It could be something that I choose to pursue as a career.
Okay, so hold on. You have to back up because you said you grew up in Bucks County and you went to the Jersey Shore, but your parents were listening to Yankee radio?
I know. It's hard when you live so close to Citizens Bank Park, but my parents were from New York, so they had just moved to Pennsylvania, so I didn't get a choice. That's what we were listening to growing up, but definitely been to a lot of Phillies games, too.
We'll give them a pass since that's where they're from.
Yeah, but I got lucky they did, because otherwise I would have never heard a female voice on the air and think that it's, you know, something that was possible for me.
All right, well, that's a good point. So tell me then how you got into the line of work. You obviously had an interest as a kid growing up a baseball fan with your parents. How did you finally dive into this line of work?
Yeah, so when I got to college, I was really lucky that this university I went to allowed me to do a lot of work in their athletic department. So I started calling games, all different kinds of sport, focusing on baseball, but I did football and volleyball and softball as well. So I was able to get a ton of experience that I might have not gotten at a bigger university. And they kind of gave me free rein to practice my broadcasting skills, and that was how I got started.
That's always the best when you have that hands-on experience, because not everywhere offers that. I always tell people internships are the best you can do just to get your foot in the door and get some sort of experience.
Yeah, I definitely think that that was what allowed me to kind of decide where I wanted to go, because it's such a big field working in sports, and there's more than just the broadcasters. Sideline reporting, there's journalism, there's things like that. So it allowed me to have a taste of all of that and then really broaden my horizons.
You worked for a few minor league baseball teams and the Australian Baseball League. Tell me about your experience with those teams.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I worked with the Lynchburg Hillcats, who are an affiliate of the Cleveland Indians, right out of college. And that was a great experience because, like you said, with internships, it's really well-rounded. So I got to do a bunch of different things, and I got a lot of skills that allowed me to get my job in Australia with the Australian Baseball League, which was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So cool down there just to travel and then also to work for a team in the winter months. And that helped me to get my job with the Fightin' Phils.
What did you do in Australia for them?
I was a voice there of the team. I did both broadcasting on the radio with play-by-play, and then I did some PA announcing with the team as well.
Okay, so what are your responsibilities now for the Fightin' Phils?
Oh, my gosh. So my main responsibility is media relations, with getting our players interviews, helping them with their brand, and giving local media and national media access to our players and our ballpark. And then I also spend the games on the radio doing the play-by-play for the team.
Tell me how you prepare for each game when you're doing the play-by-play.
I do a ton of research. I'm lucky that we don't play on Mondays. We do six-game homestands or away series. So I use my entire Monday to really do a ton of research on the opposing team, which helps me with my color commentary as well. Like, you'd be surprised at what you can find out there, especially about guys that have been around playing ball a while professionally. And so that really helps. And we also type up game notes every day that feature all of those cool things, plus a lot of like their baseball numbers and statistics and things like that.
I do sports every morning. I by no means am anything like you. I read sports is pretty much what I do. The part I get so nervous about are the players' names. If I'm not familiar with the player or it's a difficult name, that's where it just trips me up every morning. What do you do about players' names or difficult names that you have to say?
Yeah, you're totally right. There's a lot of them that you don't know. So when we had media day here at the ballpark and I met my team, I made sure to introduce myself and I asked them, you know, how do you like this pronounced? What is your pronunciation of your name? And then I'll make sure I write down a really good sound guide for me and for the visiting broadcaster. And I'm really lucky that all of the guys that I work with do the same on their end. So when a team comes to visit here, they'll send me their pronunciation guide. Or if, let's say, we call someone up from high A, I'm able to call down and say, how do you say this guy's name? And they're all really friendly and helpful.
And what about if somebody gets called up? Are you helping their broadcasters with some of the pronunciations?
Yeah, I distribute all of that to the media and to my team as well, you know, our PA announcer. So I make sure that everyone's on the same page with the pronunciations, because the last thing you want is to be on air and have such a big moment. Like, we had Bryson Stott come up and he hit a home run in his first at bat. Obviously, that's a pretty easy name to pronounce, but you want to make sure you give these guys everything that they deserve, especially if they come up and a big moment happens. You know, you don't want to be down on something like that.
Do you pay attention to other announcers? Not necessarily in baseball, but maybe other sports?
Yeah, I definitely listen to other announcers. I think that's the best way to improve and figure out variety and in different vocabulary, the way people call things. So I love listening to, you know, baseball announcers as well as like other broadcasts, always listening to some faster paced sports like football, because, you know, you think of baseball as like a slow sport, but when the moments are happening, those moments are happening like very quickly. So I'm always impressed with like the hockey broadcasters and the basketball guys that can call like a whole game that's moving at that speed.
Is there anything that gets you nervous?
I definitely do get nervous. You know, you don't want to make mistakes and, you know, have that follow you around. But I'm also very aware that that's part of the job. And if it happens, I'm one of those people that calls myself out on it on the air. I apologize. And then I move on and I try to get it right the next time. But the best part about baseball is that it's a long season. The nerves kind of dwindle as you start. I don't feel the same way as I felt on opening day. You just kind of settle in a little bit.
Right. And you have so many games.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of great practice.
What's your favorite part about doing the play-by-play?
My favorite part is actually getting to do the color commentary on the side, because it's just me in my broadcast booth. So it's been so nice now that I have a little bit more access to players, just like learning about who they are as people and adding that in as color commentary. Like, I love when something fun happens that I'm able to be a part of with the players and I can share that with people on the radio, because, you know, everyone can go and look up stats that's available, but a lot of people are listening for more insight than that. And I love being able to like paint the story of these guys as lives.
Yeah, they like to hear something new, something that you know that they don't.
Exactly, yeah. I try to give as much insight as I can, and obviously, like, I do spend the portion of my broadcast calling the game in front of me, but I love to fill in with different stories about these players that no one would ever know.
Where can people hear you calling the game?
You can look up all of our different ways to stream on rphils.com/radio, because we have a couple different ways on our internet stream that you can follow along.
So when is the next game, and how can people get tickets if they want to come to the game?
We actually have a game today against the Mets affiliate at 5:15. So it's a nice Sunday night game that'll cap off a great homestand.
And can people still get tickets for that game?
People can still get tickets for that game. There's always available. Our ballpark is huge. So we always have capacity for everyone. We actually had 8,000 fans the other day, but we seat 10,000. So the more the merrier, we always say. Then we have a whole six-game homestand beginning July 6th versus your local Harrisburg Senators. So that'll be a really cool one where we celebrate a lot of promotions. Yeah, some fireworks going and some awesome giveaways. You can get your tickets at rphils.com/tickets, and that's where you can see all of our awesome promotions as well.
If people come out to the game, what type of access do they get to the players? I mean, I know we're coming off of the pandemic, but typically, are they able to get signatures, take pictures, things like that?
That's the best part about our ballpark, is that it was built in 1951 and it pretty much has remained the same. So unlike all these modern ballparks, our clubhouse is not attached to the dugout. So the players walk through the concourse anytime they go anywhere, and they meet and greet with the fans, they take pictures, they sign autographs. We're really lucky to have such a nice group of guys that is really willing to connect with the fans. So if they are going from the clubhouse to the batting cage or back onto the field, they have to walk right through the concourse to get there.
And what are the restrictions, or are there any restrictions left as far as mask wearing and social distancing goes?
We just follow CDC guidelines. So right now, with those guidelines, we're allowed to be open 100% full with no social distancing. We do have a section if you are still in that phase of your life where you prefer to be separate from other people. We can accommodate you there, but it's just masks for those who are not vaccinated. So we're pretty much going, you know, as normal, and we are really happy that in the past we've been able to give people that sense of normalcy that they might not be able to find anywhere else.
Oh, and I love that you still have a section in case people are a little uncomfortable.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely want to make sure we can accommodate every type of fan. That's the great thing about our park, too, is that it's a great place to watch some high-level professional baseball, but there's also that, like, social atmosphere. We do a good job of making sure everyone's, like, accommodated for.
And what are the price of the tickets?
Well, we have a general admission section that I believe is $7. And then we have different price points for, you know, groups, for reserve tickets, for birthday parties and things like that. So we're definitely a family-friendly park that can accommodate, you know, you can go out and get entertained for a cheaper price point.
I was actually just talking to a coworker of mine about going to see minor league baseball games because you can take the entire family for a cheaper price, but the kids still are getting so much enjoyment out of it.
Exactly, yeah. Not just our tickets are cheaper, but our concessions are cheaper as well. You don't pay as much to get in, and then you don't pay as much when you're hanging out at the park as well. So it's definitely a good experience, especially if you want to come out with a group in that aspect too.
And you know, in the beginning, I introduced you as the new voice of the Reading Fightin' Phils, but for anybody who's not familiar with who the Fightin' Phils are, can you just tell them who you guys are?
Sure. We are the AA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. So there's just one level in between us and the professional leagues. And we're located in Reading, Pennsylvania. So we're not too far away from our hometown team. So we get a lot of really great top prospects here. Sometimes we'll get a cool rehab appearance. So there's a lot of really great baseball to be played locally here.
Emily, if you could give our listeners one bit of advice, what would you say to them? I ask this to all of my guests. So anything, any type of advice you could give the listeners.
I would definitely just say, you know, don't be afraid to go after what you want. My career and maybe yours as well can sometimes be perceived as a tougher avenue. And, you know, I'm definitely feel so blessed and so grateful to the people that have taken a chance on me. And there are those people out there. You just have to know, you know, where to find them. And I'm really grateful to be able to be a part of an organization. And my dreams are coming true right now.
Emily, thank you so much for joining me today.
Appreciate you having me on the air. This is so much fun.
To find out more information about Emily in her new position and to buy tickets, you can go to rphils.com. If you missed any part of Emily's interview, it will be available as a podcast tomorrow morning on our website, 957benfm.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see shows. Click her story, and all of my podcasts are listed right there. Thanks again for joining me today. Enjoy your Sunday. Maybe you're heading out to see the Fightin' Phils. Have a great day. I'm Kathy Romano. We'll see you next week.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.